Let's go to, we'll start in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at the title of our study, What is Your Ministry? What is your ministry? What is it that God has planned for us to do while here on earth for Him and through the local church? And He has given a great list, several lists in Scripture for us to consider and pray about, and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and enable, and the Lord Jesus to follow as our example, all these things. We've looked at, we're finishing up tonight, Lord willing, the gifts of God. That's the first kind of section that we looked at in James 1, talking about God's gift of His Word, God's written Word. God's Son is a gift. The eternal life that you get through Jesus is a gift. And the Holy Spirit, of course. Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples and God used them mightily. And then later on, as God continued to work in His church, the Bible records for us gifts of the Spirit, not just the Holy Spirit, but what does He enable us to do here in His church? Three groups that we looked at, three passages. The first one is in Romans 12, and we're actually going to go there in a little bit. At what we're calling the function gifts, or the Bible uses the word office. I knew it started with an O. The office of things. I've got something else on my mind. So pray for me. Yes. Pray for me. But we're going to look some more at that tonight. And we saw that they are for gifts that God uses in those that are saved, baptized, following the Lord Jesus. Also, that each of these gifts help supply a need in the church, which every church has, the needs that need help. And they are for those that would be willing and submissive to serving the Lord, which rely on God's grace and measure of faith. And you see the list there, prophecy, ministry or helps, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling or governing, and showing mercy. Those are things mentioned in Romans 12. Then we saw the manifestation gifts, and these are these gifts, most of them, that I believe that faded out as the Word of God was completed, not all of them, but most of them, but they were to help manifest the power and glory of God through amazing, miraculous things. The Godhead, the Bible says in verses 4, 5, and 6, the Godhead is involved in these manifestation gifts. They are designed to uphold doctrine. They are designed to be useful in the church and to fulfill God's will. They manifest God's presence and power, and at that time as answers to prayer. We've got a list of people here, several, who need prayer for health, and healing is one of those gifts in the manifestation list, and certainly God does work in, does heal today. Believers can experience a manifestation gift, but not every gift. And if you remember in 1 Corinthians 12, not just these, the manifestation ones, but all of the others are actually mentioned, or some of the others are mentioned in the chapter. And again, we'll get to that, not tonight, but Lord willing, maybe next week. So here are the gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 for the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Interpretation, these are things that our God used mightily to reach people's soul back in the, certainly in Scripture. Ephesians 4, that's where we are, correct? Yep. You're with me? Let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read, let's see. Let's go to, where do I want to start here? let's start in verse number 11. That's where we find the list of the perfecting gifts of the Spirit. But verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse number 11 takes us to that list. Take a look. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these, we're referring to them as perfecting gifts because God uses that term to share. This is the result. That's the result of what we want to see of these gifts. And these gifts are not just some type of action or some type of a power or whatever. These gifts are what? We discussed this. They are. Can you go to the store and buy the gift of pastor or the gift of apostle or the gift of whoever, you know? These gifts are people. These gifts are people that God calls, enables, and gives to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Word perfect there to help fit, to help prepare, to help show each of us or guide us into a ministry that God can use. Perfecting gifts point the church to verse 13. Let's take a look. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, to be unified in the faith in God, to know the Lord Jesus, to grow into to be a mature Christian unto a perfect man. And then the last phrase in verse 13, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be not I, but Christ, that we be in his mold, the fullness of Christ. That should be our goal. Everyone's goal should be that. Amen. To be like the Lord Jesus. So here's the gifts that are mentioned, or the people that God uses and has used. Now, verse 11, apostles. Also verse 11, prophets. They are all in verse 11. Apostles, prophets is the first blank there. Evangelists, pastors, and what would be the last one?
Teachers.
So there's a good group there God wants to use and does use as we submit to him. So let's pray before we go any further. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 12 in just a moment, but let's ask God to help us as we do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and care for us, Lord. Thank you for the church body, the body of Christ, Lord. We have many things to grow in. We have many things to learn from you and from the Lord Jesus and just how you want to reach us. Pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom tonight, Lord, that these opportunities of ministry would be evident in our lives, Lord. And may you get the glory through all things. Pray for your help to now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to take a closer look. So we started looking at kind of a touching on the gifts of God. It's taken us several weeks, but we want to look a little closer at the function gifts specifically. We'll start that tonight, Romans chapter 12. So let's go back to Romans 12, please. Romans chapter 12. And let's read verse number 1 to verse number 8. Let's do that responsively, please, if we could. I'll read verse 1. If you'd read verse 2, we'll go back and forth, and we'll stop at verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man in the measure of faith. Thank you for reminding me where to go. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Okay, thank you very much. Let me share just a real quick update. My wife just shared an Amazon driver pulled out of a drive and ran into the front of Abigail's car. They are fine. They're waiting for the police. So I'm glad that's all it is. At this point, anyway. So here we are. We're in Romans chapter 12. The Bible tells us, let me ask some help on a couple of these passages. Who would take 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. Gunner's going to read that for us. Very good. Then we have Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. And Daryl's going to read that. Thank you. Then we have 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, if you scratch your head, you're reading the scripture, okay? All right, Vicki wants to share that. Thank you very much. So the Bible tells us, the question is, how do we know? How to know what my spiritual gift is? How do we know? Is there some test that we get to take? And, you know, and there are people out there, they design these things, and maybe that helps. I'm not necessarily against that, but sometimes it can pigeonhole you into thinking, I don't have to do anything else. You know, I got the gift of whatever, and I don't have to go increase my faith. I don't have to reach others for Christ. There's those who have, you know, the ability to do that and so forth, it seems. These are gifts, these are functions that throughout Scripture, and we're going to look at them in the next couple of weeks, that God does have a responsibility for every Christian to do in some sense. But these are those that God calls and enables specifically in the church to help the church accomplish his will through these particular things. So let's start with this. Verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then verse number 6, take a look. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It's a gift given by God's, here's the blank, grace. By God's grace. What do you earn through grace? What do you earn through grace?
Nothing.
Yeah, you can't earn it. If it's given by grace, that means you did nothing to earn it, and you probably don't deserve it either. But that's how God looks at his people, his children. He loves us. He wants us to accomplish his will, and he wants to help us accomplish those things with his power. And he says here in Scripture, I'm going to give you gifts that are given by grace, by grace. It's not because of the family you're with or the, you know, whatever it is you know or don't know, it's grace. It's grace. It's from me. We need to start with that. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7 also talks about that.
In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?
Okay, thank you very much. So the idea there, as he's talking to the church at Corinth, hey, you're all equal in value in the eyes of God. You know, there are some that are more obedient, there are some that are more submissive, but you're equal in value in the eyes of God. And by his grace, this is what we're able to do as we submit to him. It's a gift given by God's grace. Letter B, it's not a natural gift of my physical birth. John chapter 3. Let's go there. John chapter 3. When I say John 3, what's the first verse that comes in your mind? Yeah. Did you know there's a lot more verses in that chapter too? A lot of them. And verse number 6 gives us an idea of how God wants to use us, but we must be born again spiritually. We must be born again spiritually. Verse number 6, would you read it with me? Let's read it together. Well, let's start with verse 5. Verse 5 and 6, would you read those verses with me, please? Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, of course, he's talking about that renewed life, that salvation in Jesus Christ. But as a born-again believer, the gifts of the Spirit come through the spiritual life, not through my physical life. Does that mean that we can't use things we've learned in our physical life for spiritual things? No, of course not. We can use what we've learned and put it to God's use, but that doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to put us in a gift of the Spirit that functions only with that. That's something to keep in mind. It's a gift given by God's grace. It's not a gift of my physical birth. Letter C, it's active as I absolutely surrender myself to God. We'll go back to Romans chapter 12. The first two verses, tremendous verses, and here's what they say again. It's active as I absolutely surrender myself to God. It says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Surrender myself to God. And here he uses the words sacrifice, the living sacrifice. Present my physical self a living sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. Can you take that sacrifice back? How many of you have ever committed something to God and you went around and still did the opposite? Only if you're a human being. And what is it that draws us back to doing something we told God, we're never going to do that again, or we're never going to think that again, or whatever? This right here, this flesh. And here's what God says. He says, present it to me. But how often should we present it to the Lord? What did Jesus tell his disciples to do? To die daily, to commit and give our life to him daily. Have you done that today? Have you done that today? Praise the Lord. And there can be, praise the Lord, a moment in time where we look back and say, that's when I really turned my life over to the Lord. And praise God for that. But there's a daily walk that needs to still be done to fulfill God's will. It's active as I absolutely surrender myself to God. If you don't have those two verses memorized in Romans 12, you would be wise to put it, commit it to memory. Number three, letter D, excuse me. Let's take a look at verse number 3 again. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Here's the phrase. God leads me to specific gift or gifts, maybe more than one, for ministry as I grow in faith in him. How do you grow in your faith? How do you grow in your faith, folks? What are some things you can do, practically speaking, to grow in your faith? Okay, a little louder so I can know what we're talking here. Go ahead, Lord. Read your Bible. Yeah, the Word of God. You cannot grow in your faith without the Word of God. Ask for faith, pray, and believe God can answer those prayers. Yeah. Fellowship with other believers who are striving to be godly, that's in Scripture. What else? Anything else? Witness to the lost, share Jesus, have it on your lips, on your face. You know, the Scripture talks about your complexion and so forth, but be a witness for Christ to the lost? Anything else? Where are you at tonight? How about coming to gathering together with the church, the body of Christ, and make that important as well? Anything else? There's a lot we could talk about.
Hospitality.
Hospitality, yeah.
Just living a clean life.
Striving to be holy, as God says. He says, I am holy, so you be holy too. Okay. Okay. Thankful and forgiving. Yeah, a whole chapter in the Gospels talks about that. But thankful should, this particular week and next week should remind us of that. Amen. and forgiving, which is something we all need. We all need and need to give out. Many things God wants us to grow. And he says, as you grow, as you submit your life to these things to me, I'll continue to show some specific tasks, ministries, etc., that I have for you to do. So let's keep that in mind. Verse number 6 also talks about that. Let's see. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, etc. there. Also, let's hear from 2 Thessalonians. We'll finish with this tonight before we pray about God's leading to specific gift or gifts for ministry as I grow. Verse 3, chapter 1.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth.
Okay, thank you very much. Here the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, we can see your faith is growing. In the way, how did he say, by the way, that he saw their faith is growing? This is obvious, he said. This was obvious. In your love, how? Go ahead and read that verse one more time, Vicki, if you would.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all inward toward each other aboundeth.
Okay, so the love toward each other aboundeth. That is a big sign, he said, that I can see your faith is growing in Christ. All right, let's go pray. We got a list here. Let's ask prayer for these things tonight.